Pastor Mark, for your ministry to us. I want to say it's good to see the cases back there. God bless you folks. Amazing, amen. That I guess you can be where you want to be, right? You know, I know Miss Case, you're hurting tonight, just had hip surgery, and Brother Don, you're hurting because you're a hippie, amen, and praise the Lord, but you can be where you want to be. That's a fact of life, by the way. That's a fact of life. You can be where you want to be. Thank the Lord for you precious folks, and good to see Brother Don Smith over there. I haven't seen you in a little while, Brother Don. We miss you. And we got the Ewald brothers handling the back there. Watch that crowd next to you, please. I see them right over there. Just keep your eye on them, please. Amen. And they look like trouble to me, those little blonde heads. Amen. Their names are Zavodsky, by the way, so I know they're trouble. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is God's commandments, his laws, his statutes. It's the start of as his people go into the promised land. And I like where he starts there in verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." We, ladies and gentlemen, those of us that believe the Bible are monotheistic. That means we believe in one God. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God, manifest in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so he says there, but then he says this, the key to it all, the key to you observing the commandments of God, the key to you walking in the statutes of God is that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I heard a preacher say, and I think it's an accurate statement, every problem in every church is a love problem. That is, either the people do not love one another, or they do not love God, or they do not love sinners. He said, either way, no matter what it is, it's a love problem. And it all starts, ladies and gentlemen, with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. But then he says here in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." I think that covers just about everything, Brother Stark. Amen. As you're walking, as you're going, as you're sitting, as you're laying down, as you're rising up. I think what he's saying here is you ought to take this book and have it in your home and teach it to your family. So with that in mind tonight, I'm going to dive in. It is now 25 minutes to 7, and I've got this 25-point message. We're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to keep taking right turns. I promise I won't take you on any left turns, amen? So we're going to go start in Genesis chapter 2. Point number 1 tonight, and these are simply in scriptural order. They're not in order of importance, but following the scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, start right at the beginning. Good place to start, at the beginning. That's an old joke, amen. But some of you got it. Pastor Mark got it right away, praise the Lord. Good place to start is at the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 said, "And the Lord God said, it is not what? Good that the man should be alone." I wish Uncle Joe was here tonight, amen. I would preach this verse to him. "I will make him an help meet for him." Sometimes we put that together and we say, help meet. Those are two separate words, help and meet. A help that is becoming or proper for Adam. "And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took up one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ referenced this exact historical event. Say, what's the point, Pastor? Number one, ladies, thou shalt help thy husband. That is the purpose for what lady woman was created for, to be a help meet to Adam. Now, it doesn't mean that single ladies don't have purpose. It doesn't mean that ladies that are widowed don't have purpose. It doesn't mean that divorced ladies don't have purpose. But listen to me. It means that the primary purpose for a woman's creation was to be a help to Adam. So, ladies, thou shalt help thy husband. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, number two, Genesis chapter 18. I told you, you can't spend 2-3 minutes on each point here. I got to move. Amen. Genesis chapter 18. This one is for you, sir. Genesis chapter 18. Those of you that mark your Bible, you may even have this verse marked. Verse 19. Verse 18, God says, verse 17, rather, he says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. Sir, number two, thou shalt lead your family. Thou shalt lead your family. Command your children. Amen. That is what God says for us to do as fathers. Joshua 24, we're going to look at it in just a little bit. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Ephesians 5:23, for it says, the husband is the head of the wife. Listen, sir, it is your responsibility to lead your home. Hey, it's your responsibility to say, we're going to church. It's your responsibility to say, hey, off with that television. It's your responsibility to say, to be the leader. I thank God for the leaders that we have here. Number three, we'll be back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We just looked at these verses, particularly verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Number three, thou shalt teach your family the word of God. That it is, listen, and I could say that's for both father and mother. Amen. But especially, Father, that we take the time and teach the Word of God to our children. I'm so thankful for my precious wife and how she, during the day, will take our Bible and teach our children the Word of God, the Bible stories. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not hide them from our children, showing to this generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. So, thou shalt help thy husband, thou shalt lead thy family. I'm using King James here too. Thou shalt teach thy family the word of God. Number four, here we go, number four, Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. I went too far. I took a hard right turn. Joshua chapter 24. You know this verse, verse number 15. It's a familiar verse. I want to maybe just point out something a little different here. It says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So number four, thou shalt serve the Lord together. Together. Some of the best Christians I know are the ones that serve the Lord together. I mean, they do things together, not just fun things and all that, and I'm going to cover that in a little bit, but I mean serving the Lord together. I mean sowing seeds at Spartan Stadium together. I mean going out calling together. Going out vacation Bible school blitzing together as a family, saying, you know, we're going to do this together. So important. Thou shalt serve the Lord together. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, sir, not just me. Come on now. Not just me. All of us. Together we serve the Lord. Okay, number five, 1 Samuel chapter 12. That's what we call a topical Bible study. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Tommy's loving it tonight. Amen. Thank you for those amens back there, Tommy. Saying, hey, it's my birthday. I could say amen if I want to. Amen. Maybe he's saying amen. I don't know, Pastor Donald. I don't know. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Says here, 1 Samuel 12, 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good in the right way. Number five, parents, thou shalt pray for thy family. You know, there's a story of Job in Job chapter 1 where it says he offered burnt offerings for his children, lest at any time they had cursed God in their hearts. He said, I want to cover them. And we ought to, ladies and gentlemen, cover our children in prayer. Again, we talked about prayer this morning. Prayer is a discipline. I think about, Lord willing, this week, Brother Bryce, Miss Jordan, Lord willing, little baby's on the way. It's any day now. And bro, you start off with prayer for that baby. And you get to hold him for the first time after mom holds him. Somebody say amen. Amen. I wouldn't hold my kids till my wife held them. I said, listen, she did all the hard work, amen. She gets the first hold. Come on, wives, help your pastor a little bit. But Brother Bryce, when you hold little Connor, pray for him. And say, Lord, thank you for giving me this baby boy. Help me to raise him for you. Thou shalt pray. Hey, some of you, your baby boys and girls are in their 30s and 40s and 50s. Brother Horsch asked for prayer tonight for his daughter, Sharon, 55 years old. Still your little girl, still your baby girl, Brother Bill. Amen. Cover them in prayer. Thou shalt pray for thy children. Okay, number six, Psalm chapter 101. Boy, we're moving. We're almost halfway through the Bible and only on our sixth point here. I think we're going to get stuck in Proverbs. That's what I think. Amen. Looking at the notes, I can tell we're going to get stuck there. Psalm chapter 101. Verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The first part of the verse there, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Back in Genesis chapter 35, don't turn there, verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Number 6, thou shalt not tolerate wickedness in your home. Amen. Thou shalt not tolerate wickedness in your home. If you see wickedness on your television, it'd be a good idea to turn it off. I wouldn't even be offended if you threw it out on the sidewalk. Thank you for those two amens. That's where most of the wickedness comes from in our homes. We wouldn't allow somebody to come in and start cursing in our homes. We wouldn't allow somebody to come in and start undressing in our homes. But we'll sit there and with that idiot box on. Thou shalt not tolerate wickedness in thy home. Young dads, young moms, older dads, older moms, thou shalt not tolerate wickedness in thy home. You want to have the essence of a Christian home, Christ has to be able to be present in every area of that home. Thou shalt not tolerate wickedness in your home. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Some may disagree with me on this. By the way, you can preach your own 25-point message if you disagree with me on that. I know there's always something or that somebody disagrees with. That's okay. Chapter 17, verse 22, please. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Number seven, thou shalt have fun as a family. Thou shalt have fun as a family. Fun doesn't mean you always have to take expensive and extravagant vacations. Sometimes it can be just a Saturday afternoon at the apple orchard. Just have a little fun together. There's enough times in our lives where our spirits are broken. There's enough of those times. Thou shalt have fun as a family. Take time and have fun. I think about the ages of our children and the blessing that they are to us, and us being a little bit of an older parents with younger children. But I'm telling you, it's a blessing because we have fun. Have fun with our kids and just enjoy time with them. I know they're going to be gone soon enough. Brother Earl Wedge used to tell me that every Sunday. He'd walk through the line and he'd shake my hands. And of course, the boys were little, just 3 and 2 years old and 4 and 3. And he'd say, "Pastor, enjoy those boys." He said, "They'll be grown and out of your house before you know it. And I know it's coming. So have fun together. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, you can still have fun with your grandkids and your kids. Thank the Lord for that. Thou shalt have fun as a family." Proverbs 22. Oh, how we need this one. Proverbs 22, verse 15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Number 8, thou shalt correct your children. Thou shalt correct your children. If you come to me and let me know something that one of my children did, and it's a particularly egregious offense, please know that I will correct them. Amen. Parents, you got young children? Correct them. They need to be corrected. Matter of fact, there are 3 purposes in God giving parents or children to parents and parents to children, and that is to correct them, to protect them, and to perfect them. That's part of our job as parents, to mature them, to protect them, and to correct them. So thou shalt correct your children. Proverbs 31, this is for you ladies. Of course, we know Proverbs 31. We know the virtuous woman that is noted here in Proverbs 31. We start in verse 10 and 11. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Jump down to verse 27 and 28. It says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." Ma'am, thou shalt set the temperature of thy home. Thou shalt, and I don't mean walk up to the thermostat and set it at 74, because that's too hot. Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, 74, that's too cold. Amen. I'm talking about setting, lady, listen to me, it is mother, it is wife that sets the spiritual temperature of the home. It is. Mother is the Holy Spirit of the home. She sets the temperature. Dad can come home after a rough day at the office or rough day on the job site, and if mother has that temperature set right, all that goes away. All that goes away. Number 10. Now I'm going all the way into the New Testament. Amen. Wow, we skipped a lot there. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we got, good night, 5, 6 points here just in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Ephesians chapter 4, some of you know this one. Some of you have broken this one. I wish I could say I never have, but I know I have. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Ready? Don't go to bed angry. Thou shalt not go to bed angry with one another. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Get it settled. Get it out in the open, even if it takes till the wee hours of the morning. Amen. Don't go to bed angry with one another. Thou shalt not go to bed angry. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Number 11. Thou shalt forgive one another. Why? Because Christ forgives you every time you ask. And all he says to you is, you be willing to forgive when somebody wrongs you. Thou shalt forgive one another. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? Thou shalt, this is for our wives, our ladies, thou shalt submit to your husband as unto the Lord. You say, listen, hey, you say, my husband may not be worth submitting to. Listen to me. As unto the Lord. God put that in there on purpose. As unto the Lord. Just like you would submit unto Christ, submit to your husband. Okay, men, verse 25. Point number 13, we're over halfway home. Look at that, I'm doing good. It's only 7:30. Praise the Lord, amen. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Is that all it says, or is there a comma there? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Sir, thou shalt love your wife as Christ loved the church. Just like she's required to submit unto Christ, you're required, sir, to love her as Christ loved the church. And that is a self-sacrificing love of Calvary. And again, I happen to think, and it's not because I'm a man, and it's not because I'm a husband, I think that the male command is harder than the female command. And that is simply because of this. There has been no sacrifice like Calvary. None. It stands alone. Verse number 14, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Thou shalt obey your parents. Okay? Now, some of you are thinking right now, I'm off the hook. I'm out of my parents' home. Praise the Lord. That happens, but God was so kind to put verse 2 in Ephesians chapter 6, just for you. And that's the 15th point. Verse number 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So not only number 14, thou shalt obey thy parents, number 15, thou shalt honor your parents. You may be out of your parents' home. You may be to the point where you do not have to obey them. But you're never out of the realm of honoring them. Never. Honor them. They've done a lot for you, and all God's people said. All right, here we go. Verse 4. This one's for the dads. It says, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This is a sermon unto itself, this phrase. But it's simply this, thou shalt not provoke your children to wrath. There are so many things that provoke children to wrath. One of them is wrath. Unbridled anger. It's why you ought not to discipline in anger. There are other things. Hypocrisy can provoke your children to wrath. Saying one thing and doing another. Being a do-as-I-say parent and not a do-as-I-do can provoke children to wrath. Sir, do not provoke your children to wrath. But then it tells us the back half of what to do. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So thou shalt not provoke your children to wrath, number 16. Number 17, thou shalt raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One of the things we do when we do baby dedications, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming baby dedication. Saw Miss Maria there today. She's not due till October, and she looked like she was ready to bust. Another one of our young married couples that sit in the back, the Bartels, Danielle is expecting a baby, I think in January. And of course, Miss Jordan and Brother Bryce right around the corner. One of the verses I almost always quote is Proverbs 22:6, which is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not part from it. But then this verse where it says, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number 18, Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite commandments of the Christian home. Philippians chapter 2. Some of you moms, you got this one highlighted in your Bible. You got it underlined. You got it circled. It's verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Children, thou shalt not whine. Amen. Thou shalt not whine. It's a commandment of the Christian home. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That was a verse I used all the time in our youth group when I could sense that there was a rotten teenage spirit. Sometimes in the youth group, there's just a rotten smell. Amen. That's just being a youth pastor. But sometimes there was a rotten spirit, and I would say, hey, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Say in my own home, do all things without murmurings and dispute. Thou shalt not whine. All right? Oh, I like this one. Number 19, Colossians chapter 4. This is for everybody. Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, children. Colossians chapter 4. Really applies to the whole church, but especially the family. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now again, the primary interpretation there is that we're talking about giving the gospel here, but the beginning part of that verse, I believe, is a good commandment for the Christian home, and that is, thou shalt speak kindly one to another. You know, you ever been husband and wife in a little bit of a spat? And the next thing you know, you're saying things you don't mean. Come on. Saying things that you shouldn't say. When if you just took this commandment and said, you know, we'll speak kindly. You know, let my speech be seasoned with salt. Let my speech flow from grace. Like God has been gracious to me, I'm going to give. Like the words of Jesus were gracious words that caused people to marvel, that I'm going to be gracious. One of our people recently was talking about an event between them and their spouse earlier in life, and how the spouse had, at that point, had not treated them very kindly. And this person said to me, but love is kind. Love doesn't punch back with words, so to speak. Love is kind. Thou shalt speak kindly one to another. All right, we're on number 20. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Number 20, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy. That's right before 2 Timothy, Brother Merrill. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is speaking to a young pastor here, and he says in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. And think about that as we have young pastoral staff here. Don't despise their youth. Be a help to them. Be a blessing. Amen. The young people don't know everything. Amen. But it says there, but be thou an example of the believers. And what does it say? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We say to all in the Christian home, but especially the parents, thou shalt be an example. Thou shalt be an example. It blesses my heart. All the years that I've been, again, I got saved in adulthood in church, and all the honor the graduates that I've been part of in the churches that I belong to hear people say, they say, my mom, she was a great mom. She read her Bible and she prayed and she took care of us and she cooked the meals and she did all that laundry and just to hear the and she taught Sunday school. And she passed out gospel tracts. And to hear that, hey, listen, to hear people talk about their dad with such reverence and say, you know, my dad, he worked hard and he went to work every day and he provided for us and he worked on a bus and he worked on the buses and just go be an example. You know, a Christian home, we ought not to have to, our children should not have to look to other homes to find heroes. I look right in inside and say, thou shalt be an example. Okay, we hit this one this morning, so I'll not tarry long, but Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, number 21. While you're turning there, I'm going to read the first 20 quickly. Thou shalt help your husband, thou shalt lead your family, thou shalt teach your family the word of God, thou shalt serve the Lord together, thou shalt pray for your family, thou shalt not tolerate wickedness in your home, thou shalt have fun as a family, thou shalt correct your children, thou shalt set the temperature of your home, thou shalt not go to bed angry, thou shalt forgive one another, thou shalt submit unto your husband as unto the Lord, thou shalt love your wife as Christ loved the church, thou shalt obey your parents, thou shalt honor your parents, thou shalt provoke not your children to wrath, thou shalt raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thou shalt not whine. Thou shalt speak kindly one to another. Thou shalt be an example. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thou shalt attend the house of God as a family. Thou shalt attend the house of God as a family. As a family. Come to God's house. I'm talking to Sunday night crowd. I hit this morning. I don't have to tarry here at all. Amen. Number 22, Hebrews 12, verse 15. A very important one. No matter whether you're a Christian or whether you're lost, you will have things come into your life that can cause you to be bitter. You have had things come into your life. I have had things come in my life. Sometimes from God's people. Where I could either choose to be bitter or not to be bitter. I talked to somebody this week, Pastor Mark was there, a dear lady that had come in, and she said, I need to talk to a minister. And Pastor Mark said, well, the senior pastor's right here. Now, he could have took that call for me if he was a good staff member, amen. She said, I'm right outside the gate. I'll pull right in. He said, well, good, our senior pastor's right here. I'm just kidding about that. It was a privilege to talk to her. She was such a sweetheart. She had loaned somebody some money. And they had said they would pay him back, Mr. Perry, so much a month, and they haven't. They didn't. She said, what should I do? And I said, well, you could get angry about it. She said, I have so much hatred and bitterness in my heart right now. Now you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's right to pay your bills. And if you say you're going to pay somebody, you should pay them, even if you have to collect cans and bottles to do it. But on the other side of the desk, it is not worth bitterness and hatred over pictures of dead presidents on green pieces of paper. So that's the next point right here. Hebrews 12, 15, look at it. It says, looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God. Amen? You see it there? Verse 15, chapter 12. Lest any root of what? Bitterness. Springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Number 22 is thou shalt not allow bitterness in your home. And there's only one way to keep bitterness out of your home. Keep it out of your heart. I told her the story of a young man that I had spent many nights with in actions and acts that that I cannot share with this congregation that we participated in together. And Bryce, I got saved and we worked in the warehouse together. And he became such a thorn to me, needling me and needling me and needling me and needling me. And finally, he was about this tall. I got up real close to him and I just looked at him and I said, you know what? You are not going to bother me. You know, when you get bitter at somebody, you allow them way too much control in your life. You just, listen, and most times the thing that you're bitter about, number one, they may not even care. And number two, sometimes they don't even know. Did I do that? I've had people come to me and ask me for forgiveness and say, I've been bitter against you for this. You did this. And I said, I did. I'm sorry. Which I would have said the day I did it if they had told me. I mean, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you like that. Listen, thou shalt not allow bitterness in your home. Husbands, wives, listen to me. Don't allow bitterness in your home. Some of you are going through a trial right now, maybe even in your marriage. Listen, don't allow yourself to get bitter. You are not the better for it. We had a dear professor in Bible college, and I know I'm camping on this point a little bit. We had a dear professor in Bible college. He used to say, life is what happens when you have something else planned, and your trials will make you better or bitter. That's it. He said, but you get to choose. You get to choose whether you'll be better or bitter from a trial. I've seen bitter saints, and I've seen saints that refused bitterness, and they were better for it. Number 23, I won't tarry long here. We've got several young children in the room. I'm just going to read the verse and just say it and move right on. It says, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. For our married couples, listen, thou shalt enjoy your physical relationship is part of marriage. Amen. You need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 in regards to that, parents. Thou shalt enjoy your physical relationship. Here you go, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, number 24. Praise God, I'm doing good. I'm on it here. Number 24, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Okay, speaking of the woman, the wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Number 24, thou shalt communicate with one another. Say, where do you get that, Pastor? It is impossible to dwell with your wife according to knowledge if you don't communicate with her and gather knowledge. Now, some of you have seen the book of knowledge of women, and it's like this big. Amen. You've seen that? And the man is turning page number 3 or 4, and they're all blank. Some of you husbands are like, yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what God wants us to do? Talk with one another. Get to know one another. You know, sir, she has weak points. I hate to tell you this, but you have weak points too. You didn't know that, Brother Bob. You didn't ask your wife. She would have told you. Amen. A little communication there, right, Miss Joyce? Amen. Now listen, communicate with one another. Again, it's impossible to dwell with your wife according to knowledge if you don't communicate one with another. So thou shalt communicate with each other. And then lastly tonight, number 25. 1 John. Hey, thank you for that, Brother Brandon. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, I tell you. It started off with Pastor Donald and the amen and amen, and it went downhill from there. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You know this verse. I know you know this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The last commandment I have tonight, and I could probably do 25 more, but I won't. And there's a good spot for an amen. The last commandment tonight is thou shalt keep short accounts with God. You want to have a good Christian home? Keep short accounts with God. It's not that you'll never mess up. It's not that you'll never offend one another. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Why? Because that ensures God's blessing in your home. See, God doesn't bless unconfessed sin. Doesn't do it. He said in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But he also said, he that covereth his sins, Proverbs 28, 13, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Yes. Amen. It means God says, look, I already know about it. Just tell me about it. I already know about it. Just confess it to me. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, yes, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now you can have God's blessing in your home. My desire is that you would have a home that pleases God. It's been the purpose of this series, amen. These commandments of the Christian home, they'll help you. And if you missed any, let me know. I've got them all, amen. That's all I have, 25-point message there, the commandments of the Christian home. Father, thank you for these, your precious people. Lord, would you please work in each one of these? I know some were applicable to some and some were applicable to others. I think of us dads in the room that, Lord, you'd help us to be the dads that our children need us to be. Help the moms to be the moms that their children need. Help the husbands to be the husband that their wife needs and the wife to be the wife that their husband needs. And Lord, just in each of these, help us to evaluate. There's so much in here. Perhaps there was a point or two that spoke to somebody's heart tonight. Lord, thank you that Holy Spirit, you can take the Word of God and make it applicable to everyone in the room. Pray that you would, please, bless now. Bless this invitation time. May we desire to have a Christian home. A home that pleases you. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor Mark's playing a hymn of invitation. Maybe God spoke to your heart during the message. I want to encourage you to come. Maybe it was a particular point. Maybe it's that family devotion time. Maybe it's just taking time and praying for your family each day. Maybe, Mom, it's that setting the temperature of the home. I don't know. Maybe, Dad, it's forgiving. Maybe it's this matter of being an example or even bitterness. Keeping short accounts. I don't know tonight. We'll not delay the invitation. I know this, I want to be a better husband, dad. We'll just have a time of invitation. If you'd like to come, you can come. We'll remain seated, let Pastor Mark play. If you'd like to come, you come. God, help us to have homes that are pleasing to Him.
You'll take these principles of the Word of God, these